Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So lately we've been getting some questions from our community about how the heck do we stay friends, even though we're business partners? How the heck does that work and look like? How the heck do we maintain friendship outside of us, even though we like, because we see each other all day, every day? And maintaining healthy friendships with people who maybe don't really understand what it is that we do and who maybe have kind of like grown in their own lives in a different way than we have. So it's a super interesting conversation, and we're just going to kind of chat it out about how it works for us and our friends, and some tips that you guys could use to maintain or sever unhealthy relationships that you've got going on.
Yeah. Well, I think before we dive in, it's important to remind everyone that when we became business partners, we didn't have a previous relationship. So we weren't necessarily friends in advance other than like literally a couple months. And when we chatted, it was almost always about business.
Yeah. And I think that is the giant foundation for how our partnership and our friendship has been so successful. I feel like every other partnership that we've heard that's like not gone over well or is rocky or ends or whatever, they started out as friends first and then transitioned to working together. And I do think that can be done well, but I do think it's just trickier and it like is dealt with in a different way. So just know that like, kind of those like background issues that other people might have as partners, we literally just don't have because we really started on the business front and then just happened to like each other.
Yeah, we grew into good friends, and it didn't start out as like sharing all these intimate details about our lives or the things that were going on the personal side of things. That really happened later. But it is pretty great to work with your best friend, in my opinion. I've loved getting to like go through life with you in a way, and things I didn't imagine sharing with someone else other than like a spouse. It's very strange that I kind of share them with you in a way. And the closest thing I can equate it to is a marriage. Like there is a ton of facets. There's a lot of different areas, and sometimes you have to compartmentalize to make it all work. But at the end of the day, like if you don't love each other, this thing's not going to work out.
Yeah. And I do like, I feel like there needs to be a new term for what it is that we have, because we're obviously not married and we both have spouses that we're actually married to. And then we're not best friends in the sense of like, we're only friends. There's like a whole, there's another level of like, but we make business decisions together. We make money together. We've like grown something really big together. But like, we also don't just clock in, clock out, and then never talk to each other until 8 a.m. the next day. So like, I don't know what that term is, but that's kind of where we fall. Like we teeter totter between like, sometimes literally when we're on the phone, it's like, hey, I just need to talk about personal stuff right now. Can we just have like a friend conversation? And then the other times it's like, we're talking about business or we're hopping on, you know, a call or a meeting or something like that. So I think it's an interesting balance, but I think we've done really well at like telling the other person what we like, what version of you I need right now. like, do we just need to chat business and I don't want to talk about this super personal thing that's happening right now? Or do we need to chat for 30 minutes about the super personal thing before I can even get to work?
Yeah. And I mean, I remember, especially earlier on, there was a lot more like notifying the other person when we had to switch roles. Now I think it happens a lot more naturally, especially when we're not in like a work situation. So like if we're in the car, even if we're driving somewhere for work, like it just feels natural to switch back and forth. And, you know, sometimes we, even if we don't say, girl, stop talking about work, like the other person just knows. So,
yeah, I definitely think we fall into a rhythm of we can read each other better now. And like, if I'm going on a personal rant about something, you know, it's probably going to only last a certain amount of time. And then I'm ready to like get back into business and vice versa. So I think like early on, we're like, wait, what is happening right now? But we know each other well to know what the other person like needs to get through to process to like be a better functioning either friend human or work human. And that just comes with time. And so like, if you guys are partnering with anyone, even if it's not on the level, like where we are, where it's 50-50, like if those clashes are happening, like I really, really encourage you to just say what you need from the other person. I am very proud of us early on that we did that where we're like, I need this type of you, or I don't want to talk about that, or, you know, whatever it needs to be. And the other person was super respectful of that, because I think it can kind of skirt the line. Because an example, and I won't go into too much detail of this, but I do think this is a prime example of how you and I get each other in a way that also saves our working relationship. So there have obviously been people who we've kind of like let into the TCC circle, and their collaborations or their partnerships or their whatever, affiliates, like whatever it might be, that we work with other people in our community that we also get close to, and we become friends with them. And it's on a personal level. We're texting, or they're visiting us, or we go see them, or whatever it might be. And one of these particular relationships, I feel like crossed a line when they were commenting on their opinion about your marriage. And it was so interesting to me, because I think it made me take a step back and be like, oh my God, have I ever said anything on that level, like that would be hurtful for her in that way? And I like racked through my brain of the last like 2 years. And I was like, okay, I might've said this, but not that, or I might've done this, but not that. And so I think I was equally like supportive of you venting and just being like, we'll get through whatever happens. But that the particular conversation that I'm talking about, like really crossed the line of like, oh, okay, now it's going to be really weird for me to have a working relationship with you because you just said that about my super personal life.
Yeah. But that said, I feel like you and I have had really personal conversations that I wouldn't have with anyone else that I don't feel like has damaged that. But I think maybe because those were not necessarily invited, but like, there was like a level of friendship prior to it, whereas in that situation, it just felt like someone was spouting their opinion when it wasn't warranted, or
when they didn't know anything. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've been around for a minute.
Slash, you've been through like when things were good and things were bad and every step in between. So, whatever.
So, another kind of variation of this question that gets brought up a lot is, how do we maintain relationships with people from our past, specifically other women, today, as we have grown and kind of become this different type of person, and maybe they have or they haven't, or in a different way? Do you have your own kind of take on that for people in your personal life?
So I think there's a couple different categories that this falls into. I think there's the friends that like, we have so much history together that I still want to get together with them and chat about life and all of this stuff. But we're both at a place where like our lives do not, like they're not at all the same anymore. And so the commonalities are just not there. And so chatting on like a regular basis has pretty much fallen to the wayside because our day-to-day lives don't really have anything in common. But it's still nice to get together and reminisce, and like you still care about the person. And I feel like that's happened more with people from like my younger days, like high school and before. But I do have a group of friends from college, and though we have no like literally nothing in common other than the fact we went to college together. And a lot of our friend circle married each other. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah, some incestual stuff happening.
Very much like everyone who hung out, we all ended up pairing off and marrying each other. So getting together with those people, even though we don't have anything in common now, there's enough of our lives and interests outside of work that like, are still things that light us up. And we think enough the same that even though we've grown in other ways, or like some of them have become parents or whatever, that I still feel like we get along. But again, the conversations on like a daily basis have pretty much gone away for the most part. But when we do get together, like it's like no time has passed and we're still best friends.
For my side of that, I think it's funny, like truly sitting here and thinking about it, because I've always thought it just in the sense of like myself, but now I'm thinking about it also with Brian, my husband, and his group of friends. And we have the same group of friends that we have had, mine since preschool, his since elementary school. And I was the only person in our group of friends that married a person in our group of friends. And so our friends from high school, that group of friends when I met them, are still our group of friends now. And I think it's funny how Brian and I are similar in the sense of like, I feel like we locked down our really core group of friends and then just like stopped, like did not need anyone else, didn't want anyone else. And luckily we've maintained, and I think because of that type like of our personality, that we've tried really hard to maintain those throughout the decades that we've known them, because we didn't want to do anything different. So I have my single best friend that I have known literally since I was 3 years old. We met on the swings on ice cream day at day schools when we were like, you know, pre-K and all that stuff. We basically like locked eyes and said, you want to become best friends? And we said, yes. And then we went along the rest of our life being best friends. She was my maid of honor. She's Penelope's godmother. Like she's like, yep, that she's my person. And that's that. And I have a couple of friends outside of that, like from high school, from college, that we like maybe do the once a week kind of check-in. We might like, hey, are you free for lunch in like 3 weeks? And we try to set a date. And that's really it. Brian's core group of friends, I think we see them most often because they live here. My person lives 5 hours away. But it's really funny, like even when we all get together now, because it's what we used to do in high school. And we like go to someone's basement, we grill out, and we hang out, and it's not any different than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I think part of my reason for not necessarily moving on, because they're still my friends, but like not talking to them on a regular basis, is the like none of them live here. Like absolutely none of them. They're all over the country. We all spread out. We all went different directions. And so it's more likely that we have a reason to get together. So like we had a baby shower last summer and it was like literally like 20 of us. And there was maybe I'm exaggerating. It felt like a lot. Way more than we like rented an Airbnb, and it was just girls weekend. So I feel like that's just going to continue to happen. Like we'll just randomly have like a girls getaway, or, and I'm hoping at some point it's a guy girl getaway, because most of my friends were actually the men in our friend group. But since they all went separate directions, when I got to Kansas City, I really started looking for new relationships. And I would say they've come from two places. One being like the creative maker place in Kansas City. Not a place, but like they are a creative. They have like some sort of play, whether they're an artist or in the wedding industry, or they're literally a student that's turned into a friend. And then the others have been from the junior league. And when I say others, like I'm making it sound like I have a million friends. There's like four or five like that I'm really close to. And if we go more than a couple of days without chatting, it's something's up. And trust me, most of the chatting is very nonchalant. It's stalking each other on stories and commenting on what the other person's wearing and things that don't really matter.
Yeah. See, my chatting with Amanda is daily. We text each other daily throughout the day. And we send Marcos if probably every day, maybe on weekends we don't do as much, but like generally on the weekdays, it's like Monday through Friday kind of thing. Sometimes multiple during the day. If you guys aren't familiar, it's a free app on your phone and it's like video messaging and it like saves just a whole feed of your chats in one like app. So we use that to like keep up to date. And then we also make a real, real strong effort to see each other once a month. And so I will go there or she will come here or we'll go on a trip together. And I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but our first anniversary, since we got married over a holiday weekend, we decided that we would take like little trips for our anniversaries every year. And our very first year, we went to Oklahoma City because we had no money and it was like an hour and a half away from where we lived. And so we like got a hotel and we were just eating and we were so bored. And that's where Amanda and her husband live. And so we text them to have them hang out with us on our anniversary. And so now the tradition is we go on a vacation and they come with us. And so we went to Mexico last year for our anniversary. We're going to Mexico this year for my 30th birthday and they're coming. And we try to do big stuff like that every year, because luckily it's like the dream scenario where her husband and my husband get along and like they're both the godparents of our daughter. Like it's just like everything you could have ever wanted in a friendship. And like I know Brian and his friends, they have a group chat on just text message and they are chatting every single day and it's stupid guy stuff. But
I can't even imagine what they talk about on a daily basis. Sports?
No, they have, I can't remember what they're called. So I hope Brian never listens to this. So he's going to die. So they've named their group. It's like, I think it's Pineapple Express. It's something pineapple. Pineapple's in the word. They've literally named their group that. And they have a group text message called Pineapple whatever. And then they have a group Snapchat group, whatever they're called on Snapchat, named Pineapple whatever. And they will literally just send each other like, well, inappropriate pictures on Snapchat, first of all, and they'll send it to that group. Yeah, their texting is mostly like, do you want to go golf or you owe me money in fantasy or something stupid. I don't know. I don't read it because I don't want any part of that life.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's funny you mentioned that Amanda and Clark go with you on vacation, because I don't know if I ever told the story, but the day after our wedding, so Jared and I rented a hotel across town, even though we both lived in Kansas City at the time, but we were living with my parents. So we were definitely not staying.
Yeah, you don't go there.
So we had a hotel. We went there the first night, but it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We barely got any sleep, whatever. The next day we went and opened presents, but we still had this hotel for like 2 or 3 days. And this was not our honeymoon. This was just like we just got married. I don't know, whatever. But we were so bored. And so like we texted Madeline, she was supposed to drive back to Columbia with Simon. And they like had totally messed up our reservation. And so they upgraded us to the presidential suite, which has 2 bedrooms and a living room and all this stuff. We're like, what are we going to do with 2 bedrooms? And so they came over for
start on day 2 of marriage, sleeping in separate beds.
So they came over for drinks at the hotel because they had like free happy hour. And then the only food we could find anywhere remotely close was Hooters across the street. And then we thought they were going to leave. And then we're like, well, we have this other bedroom. So if you want to spend the night, like, go for it.
Yeah. And that was exactly our anniversary. We invited them up to our hotel room to play drinking games and cards. And so we only had one bed. So we like huddled around the desk that the hotel gives you. And just like, they stayed in our room.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do by yourself with your
spouse? What are you going to do? Nothing. And we had already been living together. We got married on our 5th year anniversary. So like I knew the guy. Like we had spent time together. So I'm like, let's just spend time with other people also.
Well, you know, we're weird like that.
So do you feel like you have lost any friends attributed to your life now? Because you're not a mom yet, because you're a successful business owner, because you're not in the corporate world anymore. Like,
yeah. So I definitely lost work friends. And I mean, if anyone's ever worked corporate, you will literally die a slow death unless you make some coworker friends that like you buddy up to go to lunch with, or you go on a walk with, or whatever. And I mean, they were legitimate friends, but a lot of them were separated by age on a pretty significant level. I didn't tend to work with people my own age. So I kind of lost touch with some of those people. Definitely on the mom thing, like I have several people that I'm still friendly with. It's not like we're not friends anymore, but we just don't have anything in common anymore. And so that's been kind of weird. I think there's only like a couple people that have wronged me enough that I don't speak with at all, if that makes any sense. I don't hold grudges very, like, you have to really screw up. Emily is like, one strike, you're out. Bye. So like, you have to try a lot harder to get rid of me, but sure. And then there's definitely some people that I feel like pay a little too much attention to like how much money we make and like how successful the business is. And it just got awkward because they'd expect me to buy dinner or like, you know, just like little things. I'm like, okay, I feel like you're trying to use me, not actually care about me. So bye.
That's some shady shit.
Yeah.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
I don't feel like I've necessarily lost friends. I do feel like there are some friendships that have just kind of like stalled out because I think everyone's misconception is that since I own my own business and I work from home, that I can do whatever I want all day, every day. And for the most part, that is true. Like, I do have control over that. But when you're growing a successful business, like, sure, I could skip all day today. I could cancel everything. I could not show up to meetings. I could be sick, but I'm going to have to make up for it. Like, so it's going to have to come in on some other day. So like the sacrifice of being like, okay, sure, let's go grab coffee. What are you then not doing because you're doing that? And for the most part, like, I really love what I do. And so I want to stay on schedule or ahead of schedule or do the work because I like doing it and it helps me grow something amazing. And so I think that like isn't understood very often. And my dad is a realtor, so he works from home. And his favorite line, and he gets to say this because he's older, but I can't wait to say it. His like friends or older family members or whatever will text him and be like, let's go golfing today, or let's go do this. And he always comes back with, I work from home, I'm not retired. Like, I just because I'm older and I like did a career shift, like I still work, I'm not retired. So there's flexibility, but within boundaries. But all that to say, the flip side, the positive side of that is that I have been able to recultivate an old friendship. We were close friends in high school and just like lost touch. She came to my wedding, but just like, we just hadn't really stayed in touch. But her and I have been able to connect recently because she also works from home. She works for corporate, but the way that they branched off and some reworking that they did, they gave her the option to work from home, move to a different company, or move to Chicago. And so she was like, I will work from home, thanks. And so she does. And so she gets it. And she like, we have a lot of the same lingo. Like she helps, she's like an overseer of like launches. So like, she knows our terminology, and even if it's different, like she gets that life. She project manages and she's in charge of a team and all of that stuff. So her and I can connect and get each other's schedules.
Yeah. Most of the people I talk to on a regular basis don't have like the quote unquote typical American, like corporate, like career mom, whatever. Like most of them work from home or have their own business. And I think it's just because it's, I get really tired of explaining to people what I do. Like, it bugs me a lot.
I'm like, yes. Not only that, the thing that I hate the most is hearing people bitch about the job that they hate and then they're not willing to do something about it. Like, I have some family members who just like flat out do not like their jobs, and it's an everyday complaint. And I put a no complaining rule at dinner. It doesn't matter if we're home, out to eat, or at someone else's house. Like, I will leave. I cannot hear you complain about your job at dinner. I can't do it. And then I say something positive and they're like, oh, must be nice. I'm like, well, it is actually really nice. And you can have the same thing if you tried. So let's talk about how we're now trying to cultivate other friendships and what we did to make that happen.
So the other day, Emily and I, like we do, realized we had some minutes. And so we went to one of our favorite pizza places. And we're chatting over Nutella pizza because like we do. And she's like, man, because one of her friends just moved away, mutual friend. She just moved. And she's like, man, I wish Jenna was still here. Like, we should have done a better job being friends with Jenna. And I was like, I don't disagree with you. Like, I love Jenna. Miss Jenna. Jenna, if you're listening, we love you. But I was like, we do have other friends that live here that we don't talk to.
Yeah, I like named off like five people and I was like, I wish we had done like monthly dinners or something or like gotten together. And she was like, Jenna's literally the only one out of the people you just listed who doesn't live here anymore. Like, we can do that.
And she's like, oh. And she's like, well, I wish someone would put it together. And I said, girl, why don't we just put it together? And so we sat there and like brainstormed who we would invite. And like, we decided to cross some circles, if you know what I mean, just because we felt like these people would get along with these people and blah, blah, blah. And so we're brainstorming on the way back to your house. What do we call our new monthly dinner club? And we had ideas like martinis and mingling, and I can't remember some of the other ones.
Yeah, there were some other ones revolving a type of food because we do like alliterations. So what we ended with though is friend so hard. So we have monthly Friends So Hard dinners.
Yes. They haven't started yet. They don't actually start.
No, we schedule them way out into the future to make sure that people could actually come, because I know how that is. And so we like made a Facebook event and we picked the first restaurant. We picked the time and we picked the people. And I think so far only one person can't come and one person hasn't responded yet. And I'm going to text her because I know she's been out of town. But we're like mixing. So we have like some junior league friends and I have an old high school friend and then we have some creative friends. So we're kind of mixing and mingling in the hopes that like it doesn't. And I didn't want it to be all creatives because I didn't want it to be like a work session. But, you know, bringing in a mix of people who have different types of jobs and personalities and whatever, I think it's going to go really well.
Yeah, I've already talked to a couple of the girls and they're pretty pumped about it. And I told my husband, his first question was, is it on a weeknight? And I said, yes, chill out. My husband holds his weekends very sacred with me, which is
as he should,
which is so funny. Like, I mean, I'm pretty much whatever.
No, I'm like, do not ask me to do anything on the weekend. No, we did a weeknight and we picked a night where I have consistent childcare. And so every single Wednesday, my parents have Penelope overnight and they drop her off at the sitter the next day. And so up until now, Brian and I have used those. Either we go out with our friends or we stay home and do nothing, or we like do yard work or whatever. Like any task really that's going to be harder to do with a kid running around, we try to tackle. But I also know the importance of us both having our own thing. And so I figured, why not use one of those days a month where I can go do my own thing and he can then schedule a routine of his own thing, whether that be with his friends or staying at home. Like, I don't care what it is. We all need our alone time, but that can be a consistent thing as well.
Yeah. And then you budgeted another one for literally budgeting.
Yeah. And so literally. So then the last Wednesday of the month is called Beers and Budgeting. And it's just a date with me and Brian. And we're going to go get do the pick your six pack kind of thing. And there's a liquor store like right across the street. And so we're going to go there and pick up a six pack of mixed and matched beer and come home and reconcile our monthly spending, categorize everything, figure out where we're overspending and have conversations about money.
I told you you liked alliterations, or you said you liked alliterations, whatever. But yeah, I feel like as far as making friends, like I think we need to talk about that for a little bit. At first, I 100% thought it was difficult when I first started working from home. I was like, I'm never going to make friends with people. Like, it's so isolating. Like, I literally never meet anyone. Like, I'm at home by myself. And I'm an introvert, so like being around groups of people is not my idea of fun at all. That said, like I do enjoy having personal relationships with people and like I enjoy people. And so trying to figure that out was a little difficult at first. But I think the big thing is just being yourself in front of people that you want to get to know.
Well, the thing that I'd add on to that for me is I think recognizing the type of friend that you can be right now and the type of friend that you need or are missing. So for example, over the past 2 years, there have been people I've met online that in the dream world, we're friends. We're close friends. We see each other. We hang out. We communicate. We do all the things. Our personalities mesh. I love them to pieces. But they live so far away, or there's like just enough in our lifestyles that makes it really difficult to actually get together, where the only way we could maintain is like by text. And if anyone knows of the 117 unread text messages on my phone, that I am not a great texter. I'm just not. I will text Amanda and Brian and Abby back immediately, and everyone else does not get a response.
And apparently my husband now.
Oh, well, because I reached out to him. I had questions about plants. That conversation was so funny. So if that's the only way that friendship can be maintained, it's going to die because I am just not good at it. I don't do phone conversations and I don't do texting. And so at first I kind of beat myself up about it. Like, I'm never going to make friends and I'm such a bad person and I can't be this type of friend and that sucks. But then I was like, no, I really think what I'm craving is in-person local conversation and friendship and connection. And so like the dinners, like that once a month, I can commit to that because I know for the other 29 or 30 days out of that month that you don't need me to text you to cultivate you showing up to dinner the next month. You know what I mean?
For sure. I think what's been interesting for me is I've developed more random friendships, like people you don't even know, which is so strange. Recently, it's been more around like essential oils and Young Living. And people are always like, oh, you need cross-line friendships, which essentially just means they're not on your team or downline, whatever. You need people on your same playing field. So I wasn't really searching for this, but I've been put in a couple of masterminds recently and just clicked with a couple of the girls. And so instead of just keeping that information to myself, I quite literally add them as a friend on Facebook, message them, hey girl, I think we have a lot in common. I think we might be friends. And usually they're like ecstatic because most women our age struggle bus to even try to make friends. And so some of them have turned out better than others, but there's some I'm on texting and calling terms with now.
That's awesome. And I think I've also had to kind of realize, and I knew this about myself, but didn't really attribute it to like how I was struggling so hard to be friends with people. I am pretty awkward in person and I get really shy or like I can come off as like rude or like bitchy or whatever. Like my stank face is strong. And I know that about myself, but it's also something I don't really care about changing. And so what that causes though, is I really need about 3 good times with a person for them to decide if they actually want to be friends with me or not. Like the first time, generally like a no-go. Second time, maybe. Third time, they finally like get to know who I am and they're either in or they're out. And more often than not, I don't have 3 times to like have someone vet me. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, I know it's going to take even too much work than I have to give on the front end in order to even see if this thing is going to keep going. So I'm out. Or it's like with the junior league, it's got to be a situation where we are meeting, you know, multiple times a month for many, many months because we're working on a big project together. And ultimately at the end of that, on a committee of like 15 or 20 people, one person out of that committee, we are now like, we invited her to our Friends So Hard dinner. And so I'm like, okay, that took months to cultivate her to even be like, I think that I could maybe hang out with you outside of this. People take some time getting warmed up to me. That's fine.
Yes. With me, I think people are like 5 minutes into meeting me are like, why did I just tell you every personal thing about my entire life? Like, I don't know why I attract. Well, it's
hard. And people do that to me too. People tell me weird things and people tell my mom weird things. And then I'm sitting there like with this weird look on my face, like, what just happened? I know everything about you. And I'm over here like being super awkward about something.
Yeah, I have to be careful because some friendships that I thought were going to be friendships turned into like, they started using me as their personal therapist. And I'm like, nah, I don't got time for that.
I don't have time. I don't have the energy for that. I got to go.
So all of this to say, you're not doing a bad job, so quit beating yourself up about it. Likely, all the people in your circle are struggling just as much as you are. And so if you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I haven't texted or talked or seen that girl in like 2 months, but I really like her, likely she's thinking the same thing. So don't worry.
But do something about
it. Do something. Instead of sitting on it, like, set up a lunch date or set up coffee or set up a time to Zoom or whatever. Like, this is about, if you're friends, like, try a little bit, okay? Like, get out of your comfort zone sometimes. And, you know, you need a few. We're not saying you need a million, but you need a few good friends.
I am definitely not saying you need a million, but you need maybe like 3. Have 3 good friends. And like people you can rely on and meet up with. All right. So go do that. That's your job today.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.